Yes, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it is still the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. You see, it soothes my doubts, and it calms all my fears. Oh, and it dries all of my tears. It is still the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. No, because it reaches to the highest mountain. Hallelujah. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yes, it is still the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, no. As it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it is still the blood that gives me the strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. No, it will never lose. I said it will never lose. Oh, it will never lose its power.
Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood tonight? We don't get very excited about it anymore, do we? Oh, I just killed that. No, you don't see very many people shouting about the blood. You don't see very many people jumping up and down for the blood. Amen. Matter of fact, they said, well, let's just take it out of the modern versions of the Bible because it's too gory and it's too much. Amen. But it was nothing less than blood that saved you. If it was anything less, it wouldn't have saved you. Amen. But it was nothing less than the blood of Jesus. It wasn't the blood of goats and of bulls. They couldn't do it. Amen. But the blood of Jesus, amen, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ tonight. Amen. Thankful for being back in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad of what God done last night. I love it when the Spirit of the Lord's moving. You just don't know what to do. Amen. You just do what you feel like doing and hope and just continue and hope that God continues to move like He was moving. I feel like we had a very good service last night. I feel like God really moved and helped us. I believe God wants to help us here tonight and do something very special. I know I say that every night, but I mean it. I really feel like God wants to do something here tonight. Amen. I'm thankful of the testimonies I heard of people that we didn't even recognize or see that were touched by the service last night. Individuals, some of you may not know it, but there were individuals standing outside last night listening in on what God was doing in this service. Even weeping and crying. Amen. Right outside the door. Amen. Well, some of us sat down and said, well, I don't know why these folks are getting in like they're getting in. Amen. Give me that. I wish I'd have known that in this service, because I might have just walked to the door and had service with just me and them. Amen. Because I want God to move. I want somebody that's wanting it, that's desiring it, that's hungry for it. I pray. I say, God, put me in front of hungry people. We travel this country and we travel different places and we preach so many meetings and we preach all week long to people that were not hungry for a move of God. That's right. Did not desire it. I'm not saying that's the case in this meeting because you've gotten in these services. But I'm glad tonight for somebody that's hungry for a move of God. Amen. How many's hungry tonight for another move of God? Amen. Appreciate the Lord tonight. I want to preach to you tonight. I want to read to you out of the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. We've been in the New Testament for so long. Amen. But I feel led to, felt led today to preach right here. I thank you for your giving. Thank you for everything that you've done for us in this meeting so far. I do want to announce, I do want to tell you that we were able to make a few more copies of some CDs. There is on the table back there, I didn't make a whole lot of copies because I didn't know who had already had it. But on that table back there, the Lord gave me a message. The Lord divinely spoke to me, I do believe, and I shared it with some brothers the other night. A message called The Spirit's on Assignment. And I began to preach it up in Griffin, Georgia, and it wound up going 3 services. Preach a little bit, the power of God would fall, and we'd have an awesome service, an altar service. And then we went to preach, try to finish it up on a Sunday morning, power of God fell again. And then we finished it up on a Sunday night, power of God fell again. But it's in 3 parts, and I believe it's a message that God wants me to share with everybody that I can. And not because I preach it, but because God put it in me to share. And so if you get anything, amen, I would like for you, everybody that could, every family in the church, I'd like for you to have a copy of part 1 and part 2 at least. Of that, and there's a few copies in the back, and if you'd like to give anything towards it, you can place your donations in a cup back there, and we don't ask anything in particular for the CDs, just whatever CDs, whatever money's given, the Lord willing, we'll be sending it to the Dominican Republic this week, hopefully, and we want you to give, and we thank you for what you've already done. Amen. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Now, I seen a while ago, they said, who's going to get in with the preaching tonight? You raised your hand. I started looking at those that raised their hand. So I know who raised their hand tonight. Said they was going to get in with the preaching. Well, some of you got that. Some of you just looking at me. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua chapter number 3. Y'all making me nervous tonight. Joshua chapter number 3. Start to read in verse number 13. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood, and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, as beside Zaretan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Amen. Verse number 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the souls of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Amen. I believe tonight that there's just one thing keeping some people here tonight from what God has for them. I believe that there's just one hindrance that's keeping us from a complete breakthrough in the lives of individuals. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, on put your foot in the water. Amen. Put your foot in the water. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray with us tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think tonight, knowing that without your touch in this service, God, that we will see nothing accomplished. And I'm asking you right now to give us liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I'm asking you, Lord, right now, that everything that would try to bind the service. God, I pray, Lord, that it would be bound and rebuked right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to help us to minister your word without the fear or the favor of man. Give us that anointing tonight that doesn't need a pat on the back. Give us that anointing tonight that doesn't need anything but the assurance in our heart that you are with us in this service. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this house. I thank you, Lord, for every soul that's going to be saved, everybody that's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in this service. I'm asking you to have your complete and perfect way in the midst of us tonight. We're going to thank you and praise you and give you the glory for what you do in this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. We begin the book of Joshua. Amen. The book of Joshua precedes, the book of Deuteronomy precedes the book of, amen, Joshua. And at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we find that Moses has climbed that mountain called Pisgah, that God has brought him to the place that he could not enter into the promise, and that he would begin to stand on that mountain and view that land of Canaan that God has promised His people. Amen. Moses would stand there and look out over that place that the Lord called the land that flowed with milk and honey. Amen. A place that the people of Israel had wandered in the wilderness 40 years in hopes that they would see this fullness of the promise of God come to pass in their life. And Moses, because of his anger, because of the state in this life, how God was called by God not to enter into that place, that he would die right there on that mountain called Pisgah. But there's a message in that right there, if you didn't know it or not. There's a message in that, because Moses would die there on that mountain, and God would bury him somewhere that no man would ever know. He would die there on that mountain, looking out over the promise of God. But that would not be the last mountain for Moses. I'm glad to know, amen, that this is not, that there will be another mountain. Amen. I'm glad to know that there will be another victory. Moses, I can look at Moses and we can look at him and we can say, Moses, that's not the end of the road, because we're going to meet you again in Matthew chapter number 17. And Jesus is going to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Elias is going to stand on one side and Moses is going to stand on the other. I'm telling you, I can break right now and preach to you that there will be another mountain. Hallelujah. There will be another victory. There will be another touch of God. Amen. There is something else coming for you. I believe tonight that if there's breath in your body, I believe tonight, my God, that if you're in this house, my God, and you've still got life left in you, that there is a victory for you, and that there is a deliverance for you, and that there will be another. I know the devil told you there'll never be another mountaintop, and the enemy said you'll never see it. I can saw it there, but I'd like to be like Moses when he seen Christ transfigured before his very eyes. I'd like to be the one that could pat him on the back and say, hey, you might have to be crucified, but you're coming out of this. Aren't you glad to know that there's hope for another mountaintop? Amen. Well, Moses stands on that mountain, gives up the ghost. Well, we know, amen, that as we enter in to the book of Joshua, that Joshua is going to be the man that leads God's people right over into the promise of God, right over into that land of Canaan. Joshua is going to lead these people, and there they come, and they come nigh unto the Jordan River. Amen. They come to the very thing where that last and that final obstacle that's keeping them from everything that God is calling them into. Amen. God promised them a land with milk and honey. God promised them that they would have victory over the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all of those eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. He already gave them the victory. He already said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance. Amen. He told them that a long time ago. He told them that way back in the
the days of Abraham. He gave them the promise. And so they wandered for so many years. They wandered in everything else but the promise of God. They wandered in everything else that was less than what God had for them. They wandered, they wasted 40 years. They wasted a whole generation on everything that was less than what God had called them into. They should have come out of bondage and right into the promise, but because of their unbelief and because of their doubt, my God, that's another message right there. Amen. There's a whole generation wasted, my God, because somebody wouldn't obey the Lord. There's a whole generation wasted because somebody wanted to doubt God. There's a whole generation, my God, that don't know much about the power of God, my God, because somebody would not be obedient to the Lord. My God, and here they are. They're approaching this Jordan River. How the word Jordan, it means to descend. How many knows that you gotta go down sometimes before you can really come up? How many know sometimes if you're really gonna get the victory, sometimes you gotta go down before, my God, you can go up? I may be in the valley right now, but that just means I got a mountaintop on the way. I may be in a low spot now, but that just means God has got something for me ahead. My God, I may be in a Jordan right now, my God, but I can look across the Jordan River and I can see that God's about to bring me into everything He has for me. I got, I may be standing, sitting in a pew tonight, I got looking at a thing that's keeping me back, but if you'll look on the other side, you'll know that God's got something for you. If you look on the other side of your obstacle, you can understand that God, my God, has a promise waiting for you. I believe there's a promise for every individual in this house. It don't matter if you've been saved for 30 years. It don't matter if you've been saved for 30 seconds. It doesn't matter if you're not saved at all. Amen. God's got something for you in this house. And you just got to get over this thing that's a holding you back. My God, I don't know. Can anybody look over Jordan? I said, can anybody look over Jordan and see what God's got for them on the other side? Amen. Praise God. Sometimes you gotta go down before you can go up. Amen. The last thing that's keeping them away, my God, from what God has for them is this Jordan River. This Jordan River, it's not just an obstacle, my God, put there to keep the children of God away. It is a defense that the Canaanites have. The Canaanites trust that this water, this river, is going to keep their enemies away. Amen. This Canaanites, amen, they know that not too many people are going to try to venture to cross over this river, my God, to get to them, to kill them. And so, my God, the enemy's defense is this Jordan River. I can tell you one thing. When the enemy starts getting defensive, you can know you're about to get a breakthrough. Hallelujah. I said the enemy starts to give himself away, my God, when he starts getting defensive. I remember one day I got a cousin. Amen. And I hate to say this about anybody. The Bible says when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, seek a rest, finding none. Amen. He said, I will now go, amen, to my house from which I came. And when he goes back, he finds it's empty, swept, and garnished. He goes and he finds seven other spirits worse than himself. And he comes by, amen, and this last state of that man is worse than the first. I've got a cousin that I hate to say this, but she, amen, is devil possessed. Amen. And there, sitting there one day as we gathered together with a family, amen, she was in a wreck years ago, and she was thrown out of a car, and the car flipped and rolled. Amen. And that car came to rest on a mailbox post, and Wendy was laying laying under the car, and the only thing that kept her from being crushed by the car and the baby in her womb crushed by the car was that mailbox post. And I said it, we got to talking about it that day. I got it and I said, you know, you'd be in hell tonight if it had not been for that mailbox. And then if God hadn't have saved you with a stick, I got you'd be in hell. I got those devils rose up in her. But you know, when the devil starts getting defensive, I got, I know God's on the case. Amen. When the devil starts getting defensive, I know God's about to break through. Amen. Devil, you're scratching, you're fighting, you're doing all you can to stop this move of God. I got, but you're just giving yourself away. We know we're about to have the breakthrough that we're looking for. We know we're about to have a move of God we're praying for. You can know that when folks start getting sick, I got, it's time for us to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I got, we can know that when the enemy begins to get desperate, we can know that God's on the move. My God, tonight it's just a Jordan River. It ain't nothing to my God. My God, it's just a Jericho wall. It ain't nothing to my God. It's just a rooftop. It ain't nothing to my God. It's just a sickness. It ain't nothing to my God. It's just an addiction. It ain't nothing to my God. Tonight, I'm telling you, that's deliverance in this house. I'm telling you, that's healing in this house. I'm telling you tonight, I believe before this service is over, somebody's going to put their foot in the water and they're going to find just exactly what they came here looking for. Come on, lift your hands and praise it. Hallelujah. My God, the last defense of the Canaanites was this Jordan River. And they had already gotten word about the Red Sea. Amen. They had already knew that God had divided the Red Sea. They already knew that God had caused them to walk on dry ground. And the enemy already knew if he'll split a sea, God will split a river. They knew that if God would bring them across something like that, this ain't nothing to their God. They already knew, my God, that if God would move like he did then, if he'll do it 40 years ago, he'll do it right now. If he'll split the Red Sea, he'll split the Jordan River. If he'll baptize your grandma, he'll baptize you. If, my God, if he'll deliver your granddaddy, he'll deliver you. My God, if he'll save your great-granddaddy, he'll save your children. My God, I just want to tell somebody, he still does what he's always done. My God, if he'll split the Red Sea, he'll split the Jordan River. And the enemy knows that the Jordan River ain't going to stop the children of God. And the enemy knows that when we as people of God get ready to obey God, ain't nothing going to stand in the way. Hallelujah. Amen. The enemy knew, my God, that they had already walked on dry ground across that Red Sea. Amen. They knew that God did it before and he'll do it again. And so the children of Israel, they came and they lodged right by that Jordan River. You know what they did? They went as far as they could possibly go. They went as far as the physical would take them. They went just as far, my God, as they could go in the natural. And how many know tonight that when you get to the end of the natural, there's only one thing can happen. The supernatural has to take place. Hallelujah. There's only one thing that could happen. Amen. I believe tonight that God requires us to go as far as we can go. I believe that tonight God desires us to do all that we know to do. I believe tonight, amen, that God desires us to push it to the limit. I do. I believe that God wants you to do everything you can do in your situation. I don't believe that God, amen, is going to pick you up off the couch amen, and say, here's your job at the front door. Amen. I believe tonight, God, He's wanting us, amen, to stand on the brink of the river and saying, God, amen, here I am. I've gone as far as I can go, and the only way I'm going to get over this is if You move from me. Amen. I've gone as far as I can go, and the only way that I can get any farther is if You take over from here. Has anybody in this house gone as far as they know to go? Has anybody prayed as hard as they know to pray? Has anybody sought as hard as they know to seek? And they know the only option that you've got left is if God takes over from here. Amen. Go on as far as you can go. Worship as hard as you can worship. Pray as hard as you can pray. Amen. Now what do? We come to the brink of the river. We come to the point that we can see the honey and we can see the milk. But we've got this river that stands in the way. Every revival that I've preached that's went 2 weeks, 3 weeks, any amount of time, we always come to the brink of the river. Any move of God that I've ever been a part of, we've always came to the brink of the river. I preached a 2 week, about 3 week revival. Amen. Just about a year or so ago, up in Georgia, not too far from our home church, every night, the power of God would come in this house, that house. Amen. There would be no shouting. There'd be a little bit of worship. But you could feel God's presence in that house. Like it felt like the walls were breathing in and out. Amen. But nobody'd obey God. Nobody'd get in. We just needed that breakthrough. We knew that if we could just have that breakthrough, and there ain't no telling what kind of milk will flow through this house. And there wasn't telling no kind, what kind of, am I making any sense? What kind of honey would go to flowing? And you know, Brother Dean, we got to singing and we prayed and we done all we could do, but somebody just wouldn't obey God. Amen. But one night we got done preaching and they got to singing. Amen. I see the rain and it's falling once again. I hear the wind as it blows across the land. I feel the fire. Amen. Flames are burning higher. And they got to singing that song. Amen. I don't know. And it wasn't me. Because I'd already preached my guts. Like I'd done every night this week. Almost. I've already sweated. I didn't know what else to do. Amen. But all of a sudden, amen, that place got to vibrating again. I almost felt like, amen, what it was in the book of Acts when they prayed and the place was shaking. Amen. It just got to moving in there. All of a sudden, I just put my hand on my ear and I started walking down that church and I hear the wind. Can you hear the wind? Can you hear that? All of a sudden, people started shouting. I ain't shouted in years. Piano player hadn't shouted in 4 years. I got, he come off of that piano bench under the power of God. I got that pastor had went through a church and lost. Amen. Had been through so much struggles. Pastor in that church, their building was taken away from them. I got, but in that service, I got, I looked up there and the pastor was shouting all over the platform. Why? Because we come to the brink of the river and we said, God, we've done all we know to do. We fasted, we prayed, we sought You. Now we need You. I got to take over from here. I know it's been a week, but I've preached everything I know to preach. Every subject, I know I can preach on the fundamentals, but I preached the very heart, amen, of the things that I prayed about. Amen. But you know, I just feel like in this revival, and I can't help but obey God, that I just feel like in this meeting, we're on the brink of the river. And we've done all that we know to do. This pastor, amen, pushing these services, amen, to be all that they can be. And some of you have worshiped, and you've been here faithfully, all that you know to do. Hi, God, but I'm telling you, there's only one option left. When you come to the end of your rope, and you ain't got nowhere else to go, you gotta throw your hands in the air and say, God, take over from here. God, you gotta take over from here. I can preach again, but I'd rather that you take over from here. I can sing another special, but I'd rather you take over from here. I can pray another prayer, but I'd rather you take over from here. I can run around the church, but I'd rather you just take over from here. Is anybody standing at the brink? I said, is anybody standing at the brink of the river? I said, God, we need you to move. We need you to break it through. God, we need you to move. It doesn't belittle what God said He would do just because we're standing on the brink. Because you see, too many people have stopped right here. And they camp right here. And they stay right here. And they never go any farther than right here. And so they never get over the river. They just stand in view of it. And they'd never get any farther. Hallelujah. Souls in this house, bound by sin, bound by addiction, go as far as they can go. Amen. And they say, and they give up. And they say, I just can't do it. I don't have the willpower. You're right. But what you've got to do is you've got to say, God, I'm at the end of my will. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of all that I've known to do. Amen. I made the money. I've done all I know to do. I tried to get off these drugs. I tried to quit selling these drugs. Amen. I tried to quit drinking. I tried to stay away from those that drank. I tried all that I know to do. But when you stand at the brink of the river, you gotta say, God, I'm gonna put my foot in the water. I'm going to put my foot in the water and I need you to take over from here. Amen. You know what they're doing. They're going to commit themselves. Amen. To what God's doing. Amen. We can stand back and hope God moves it out the way. Or we can start walking and saying, God, you're going to move this or I'm going to drown. Amen. You're going to move this or I'm going to do my best to swim. And I can guarantee you that when you put your foot in the water, God's going to move. God's going to deliver. God's going to set free. God's going to fill with the Holy Ghost. I got God to do it. If you put your foot, you got to put your foot in the water. I don't want you leaving this house without speaking in tongues. I don't want you leaving this house without being fully delivered. I don't want you leaving this house, I got, with anything less than a breakthrough. I got tonight, but you got to put your foot in the water and say, God, I need you to move. I'm ready to get over it. I'm ready to get over it. I'm ready for you to do it. I'm ready for the supernatural to take place. I'm ready for the supernatural. I had an uncle strung out on meth. He would take 8 Vicodin and chase it with alcohol. So strung out on meth, he'd sleep on about 8 hours a month, if that's possible. And I think it is. He'd been backslid so many times. Then I told him one day, I'd go over to his house and I wouldn't say much. He'd just preach to himself. I'd just sit there and shake my head. He'd preach and he'd preach and he'd preach and he'd preach. He'd preach and he'd preach. I said, Marty, every time you tried to serve God,
you get saved on a Monday night and try to preach on Wednesday night. I said, you got to ease your way into this thing. You take baby steps into this thing. Ain't nobody expecting you to be perfect overnight. Are we? We ain't expecting you to do everything we do overnight. No. That's ridiculous. Amen. No. Amen. But you're going to ease in this thing. You're going to put your foot in that water. You're going to watch God move. You put your foot in that water, and everything that flowed from this way will be cut off. And everything that flowed from this way will be cut off. And before you knew it, you couldn't see a path, but there's a path. You couldn't see a way, but there's a way. Because my God makes a way where there seemed to be no way at all. I got to tell you, amen, God will do things that we're not even looking for. Isaiah 64:3, thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. I'm talking about unexpected blessings. Unexpected deliverances. Unexpected moves of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. They're going to put their foot in the water and God's going to move for them. They're not going to encamp out here just being satisfied with a view. Amen. Not just satisfied. Our God, we're just looking at what God can do. Amen. But then, our God, down in that second verse, amen, the officers started going through the camp. And they started saying something. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. God would say that. He would send men to say, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow God would do wonders in your midst. Sanctify yourself. Come on now. I don't want to dap in the spirit. Amen. But I want to tell you. Amen. They went through the camp. And they said, you've got to sanctify yourself. But this is what they were saying. Amen. They went through the camp. And they say, you're going to see the ark of God begin to move. Now you've got to understand that the ark of God is the tangible presence of God. He said, when you see the ark of God move, you've got to go after it. He's saying, when you see the presence of God move, pack your bags and move with it. You don't know what's wrong with some of our services. We don't know how to move with the Spirit. That's right. That's right. We don't know how to move with the Spirit. We need some people in the house of God that know how to flow with the Spirit. When you see the ark move, you move. When you see God's presence move, you move. Amen. When the man of God's preaching, trying to win souls, you don't, amen, try to jump up and down and shout. Amen. You pray that God send conviction. Amen. When we're up here trying to pull men in that are lost and bound, you don't, I got, you don't go back for the bathroom. Everybody get up at one time. You flow with the Spirit and say, wait a minute. I mean, I held it when I was in high school. I think I could hide it, hold it right now while somebody didn't pull down to the altar. I tell you what we need. We need some folks that can flow with the presence of God. You know why? Amen. Because He tells them, amen, you're about to go somewhere that ever been before. He said, when you see that ark move, he said, you get up and you get ready to move with it. Amen. The Spirit of God can come in here and some of us wouldn't even know it was here. You know? But then there's some of us when we feel that Spirit move. It don't matter if nobody else is on their feet or standing up. Because we feel the ark moving. I feel the ark moving. I said, I can feel the ark moving. What are we going to do in this service while the ark's moving? We're going to move with it. But listen to what He says for you to do. He said, listen, there's going to be a separation between you and the ark. He said, all the people are going to stay, amen, a distance. Amen. There shall be a space between you and it. Amen. There's going to be a space of 2,000 cubits by measure between you and it. He said, there's going to be a space of 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Why? Number one, some of them would get ahead of it. and miss it all. But the main thing is that ark was a holy thing, a reverent thing. And we get too familiar with holy things. We get too comfortable with holy things. We get so comfortable with the moving of the Holy Ghost that we can talk and smack our gum while the message is given out. We get so accustomed to the moving of the Spirit that our children don't even reverence the Holy Ghost. We get so accustomed to the way that we do in Pentecost that when the Holy Ghost moves, we can do whatever we like. We treat this holy sanctuary as if it's just another room in the building. Come on now. He said, you're going to put it, there's going to be a separation between you and that ark. That's right. Because if you get too close, you're going to die. And if you get too big of a hurry, you're going to die. You know, the first sign of a move of God is when people are reverent to what God's doing. There's a separation between what God's doing and what we're doing. And we're reverent to the holy things of God. I've been in services where somebody's giving out a message of tongues and you couldn't hear them because of all the clatter and all the chatter of everything around them. I've been in services to where, amen, the preacher was pulling for somebody to get saved and we were so busy with everything else that we couldn't take time to pray. It's sad, but sometimes we just have to remind the saints of God, help us pray, church. Help us pray, help us pray. It's sad somebody be down there saved and even need deliverance and we're looking at the clock getting ready to go home. Let there be a separation between the ark and the people because we get too familiar with reverent things and we will not cross over, and we will not have a move of God, and we will not maintain a move of God without being reverent to holy things. I know I'm comical sometimes. Sometimes I don't try to be, but sometimes I just am. But when I'm in this pulpit, and the Spirit of God's moving like it's moving right now, and there's a holy hush. You don't know when it's a holy hush? It's a holy hush when you feel the tears rolling up in your eyes like you do right now. This move of God that you feel right now is a holy thing. The presence of God you feel in this house right now is a very holy thing. And we must reverence it to maintain it, to keep it, for it to be effective. We've got to maintain it. Amen. You're going to have to separate yourself. For ye have not passed this way hither before. You know why God moves like He's moving right now? Amen. Because He's getting ready to take us somewhere we've never been in Him before. Amen. And if you're going to go where God's taking you, you can't follow nothing less than the Spirit of God. You can't follow nothing less. We cannot miss it. I said, we cannot miss it right here. We got to follow what God's doing right now. We got to follow Him. And the cry goes out through the congregation. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. God will work in a powerful way through people that'll sanctify themselves. God will work through a group of people that'll say, I'm going to separate myself because I've stood on the brink of this river too long. I've stood here looking at what everything God would like to do in the midst of us. I've got to sanctify myself. We ask God to move in powerful ways, but God's not going to move in powerful ways through unsanctified people. He's going to move through a people that is sanctified. You're talking about an outward standard? Not necessarily. But if you get sanctified in here, everything around you will become sanctified. Even a sanctified wife sanctifies her unbelieving husband. And that has nothing to do with her standard. Because when you get sanctified in here, everything around you becomes sanctified. God will move through somebody that's sanctified. God will anoint somebody that's sanctified. Amen. God's not going to move if we ask Him to move, and we will not sanctify yourself. Now they're standing at the brink of this river. It's not a stream. No, it's not just a little brook. Amen. The Jordan River in the month of April, it floods its banks. It's higher than it's ever been. We're not talking about jumping over a stream. We're talking about waters of impossibility. We're talking about there's no way you can walk across it. There's no way you can swim across it. There's no way you can get over. The only way you can get through it, and the only way you can get over, is if God gets it out of the way. Amen. That's why they say sanctify yourself. Amen. Because we've got to get this thing out of the way. It's all. This is the only thing that's keeping them from a true move of God. This is the only thing that's keeping them from everything God, amen, is calling them into. Amen. He said, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to put the burden on the leaders. We're going to put the ark on the shoulders of the priest. And they're going to go before you. And as soon as their feet touch the brink of the water, He's going to move. So now, they know God wants to move. They know God said He would move. They know what God wants to do for us. But now they've got to make a decision. Do I commit myself to what God is wanting to do? Do I put my foot in that water and say, yes, I want this. Yes, I need this. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. I'm not saying nobody's done nothing. But there's some of us that have to commit ourselves to what God's wanting to do in our life. And the only way they're going to commit themselves is they're going to put their foot in that water. And they committed themselves. They quit talking about it. They quit having board meetings about it. Amen. They quit talking amongst themselves on what they would like to see. Amen. They push everything out the side. And they put their foot in the water. And when they put their foot in the water. Amen. Listen to me. When you walk by faith, when you step out on faith, you're not stepping out on nothing. Amen. When Peter stepped out of that boat on that water, he didn't step on nothing at all. He stepped on what God said. Amen. And when you're walking on what God said, you're not going to sink. You're not going under. You're not going to drown. You will be delivered. My God, they put their water. I know there's people in this house that are looking at things that seem impossible. They're looking at waters of impossibility. My God, but if you'll commit yourself to it, if you'll put your foot in that water, I can guarantee you that before this service is over, you will be delivered. You will be set free. You will be full of the Holy Ghost. You, my God, tonight, I wish I had some folks here that said, I'm ready to put my foot in the water. I'm ready to see just exactly what God will do. My God, tonight, you got to put your foot in the water. The Canaanites are watching. The enemy's looking. They see them gathered at the brink of the river. They see them and they know what their God's capable of doing. And all of a sudden, they see a little splash. Ripples go through the river. And it divides. And the Bible said that they went across. Amen. They went across. Amen. Passed over. Right up against Jericho. Right in the face of the enemy. We're walking on dry ground. Right in the face of the enemy. We've got a breakthrough. David said, you'll prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. I'm telling you tonight, ain't no telling. I've said it before, but I mean it more than ever tonight. Ain't no telling what God will do to somebody that'll put their foot in the water tonight and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to commit myself to this move of God. Huh? I'm tired of just enjoying it. I said, I'm tired of just enjoying a move of God. I'm ready to experience a move of God. Because you can shout all around by what God's doing. God will send His anointing in the house and a backslider will shout. But then there's some of us that say, I need more than that. I need the anointing to start at the top of my head, flow down, washing me, cleansing me, breaking every yoke, every bind, every chain, every addiction. I need more than just to enjoy this. I need to experience this. I need to do more, God, than just be glad that I came. Amen. I want to leave this service and say, God, that service changed my entire life. I want people to leave this place and say that revival changed my entire life. I'm tired of people leaving here saying, oh, I enjoyed it. It was good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. My God, but did it change your life? You know why it didn't change your life? Because you ain't committed yourself to a move of God. My God, but then there's some of us that need deliverance so bad that we'll put our foot in the water. And say, God, I believe you're going to do just what you said you'd do. God, I believe you're going to move just like you said you'd move. I feel God. Sister Jessica, you'll leave this place fuller than you've ever been when you put your foot in that water. Amen. And you say, God, I'm committing myself to a move of God tonight. You'll leave here more than you've ever been. We've had the shout. We've had the run. We've had the rejoicing. Now the anointing's here. And God's getting ready to break our yokes. Break our chains. People here tonight bound. Hallelujah. You put your foot in that water, you'll leave here free. Hallelujah. Brother come down last night, God set him free, I believe. Amen. God set you free from some things last night in the altar. Amen. You know why? Because he came. Oh, nobody else coming. Amen. He come down here, put his foot in the water. God gave him deliverance. God gave him help. God gave him strength. Ain't no telling what God will do for you tonight. But you put your foot in the water. I got it. Am I making any sense? I feel God. Amen. Tell somebody tonight it's time to quit standing on the brink of the river. I got just standing there wondering what's going to happen next. I got put your foot. I got how many is ready to go to the next level? How many is ready to go a little deeper? Amen. How many is ready to step out of where they've been? Lord, it looks dangerous. Lord, it looks like I don't know if I'll mess up or not. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but amen. You said if I'll put my foot in this water, you'll move for me. And I believe in this service tonight that if you commit yourself to what God's trying to do, you will not leave here the same. I said you will not leave here the same. I said you will not leave here. When the anointing's sweeping out of these doors and grabbing a hold of men on the street, what can it do in here? Somebody say, this is what I need. I need more than I feel better. I need this. I'm tired of wandering in the wilderness. I'm putting my foot. Some of you wandered too long. I said, some of you wandered too long. Your deliverance is here tonight. Your move of God's here tonight. God's going to change somebody's life here tonight. I said, God's going to change somebody's life here tonight. That's right. Not just their attitude, their whole life. I believe that. Amen. But it's going to take a commitment from somebody in this house that says, I will put my foot in the water. Would you stand with me? My wife comes.